With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Inner Growth Podcast. I'm so excited you're here today, and I'm so excited to be recording with one of my best friends, Jordana. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I feel like it's been a long time in progress.
It really has. Yeah. We've talked about recording together for so long, and we're finally doing it, so it feels so good.
So happy.
How's your day been so far?
It's been marvelous, honestly.
Marvelous.
This is my last Saturday living in New York City, so I wanted to have a very classic Jordana New York day. And you know, everything I did this morning is like me to a T. I woke up, I got a facial, which was a great way to start the day. I went to the farmer's market, got my favorite coffee and bagel combo. So feeling good.
Yes. Very good. I love it. What's your favorite coffee?
Okay. Well, it depends.
Is it the one that I recently ordered that's now my new favorite?
What did you get? The blue bottle?
Well, it was your coffee order.
Okay. So it depends where I'm going, but one of my favorite coffee places in the city is Blue Bottle, and I love the New Orleans style iced with oat milk. It's so good. It just has like a sweetness to it. It's cold brew, but if I'm getting an espresso-based order, then I get an iced oat milk latte.
Is it the Nola one?
Yes, from the Blue New Bottle? Orleans, yeah.
That one is so good.
If there are any New Jersey people listening to the podcast, if you know Rook is like known for their New Orleans style, and that's why then I ordered it at Blue Bottle, and now they're like my two favorite coffees. They're so good.
Oh my gosh. Amazing. Yeah. So whenever I see you make your coffee at home, you always brew espresso over ice, yeah, and then you put a little bit of milk. But if you order like a latte in a coffee shop, it's always way too much milk.
Yeah.
Because the size of cup that you use at home is just like the espresso takes up like 3/4 of the cup.
Yeah.
So I was like, what do I order in a coffee shop to get that? Because I don't like so much milk, right, in my coffee order. And I figured out that it's an iced cappuccino.
I have to try it. Because what happens to me, usually to avoid the over milkiness, is I end up asking for another shot of espresso to like make the ratio better. But sometimes if a coffee place already does double shots as their shot, it ends up being a quad shot. And then I'm shaking and jittery the whole day. I'm like, why did I do this to myself? So yeah, I'm going to have to try the cappuccino.
Yeah, try iced cappuccino because it's also a little bit smaller. It's very similar to, I'm sure, what you make at home and what I make at home too. Because I always will brew espresso over ice and pour the milk. So,
which I think that you're actually not supposed to do that, but I do it every time.
No, like, it turns out a lot better than
it makes
you,
it like like creamy and foamy at the top.
If you do the espresso over the milk with the ice, it just turns out different. Like, I don't know how to explain
it. Well, I think what you're supposed to do is brew the espresso into like a separate cup, like a little glass pitcher type thing, and then have a cup separate with milk and ice in it, and then pour the espresso in. Mm-hmm. But I don't.
No, I like your way a lot.
Me too.
It turns out really good.
It works for us.
Yeah, it does. And the first thing I always ask anyone that comes on the podcast is, what's your sun, moon, and rising? And I know we've talked about this a million times because every time you bring up astrology, you don't know your birth time.
Right. Which, mom, if you're listening to this, like, I don't know why I'm the forgotten child, but if I could know my birth time, that'd be great.
Yes, that would be great. But we can actually see your entire chart except for your rising. So I won't know, like, which house your sun is in or anything like that, but we can know everything else, like your moon, Mercury, Venus.
And will you explain what those things mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so let's pull it up because we already have it queued up on astro.com and I'm going to get a live reaction now.
You'll tell me if it's accurate.
I'm excited. Okay, so you are a Gemini. We already knew that.
Yes.
Because you have the same birthday as Pedro. So Gemini queen, and then you have a Sagittarius moon.
Okay.
So you were born in a full moon.
Okay.
If you didn't know that.
Interesting.
Gemini Mercury, Taurus, Venus, Gemini, Mars, and then outer planets, you have a Jupiter in Pisces and a Saturn in Taurus. But that's not like as significant. The Mercury, Moon, Venus, Mars, and Sun is probably the most important. So I knew you had to have something in Taurus because I feel like anyone who has Taurus placements, and I was talking to Mia Miller about this recently on the podcast too, anyone with Taurus placements, when they like something, they're going to get that thing over and over and over.
I mean, how many days of my life have I had an oatmeal bowl in a row now?
It's like, probably I know 10. What to expect from your stories every morning. It's going to be the same little oat milk, like coffee drink, and then your oats with the yogurt and the berries and the nut butter on top. Like,
when I love something, I do not let it go. Like, you will see that I am so passionate
about
it.
And, like, that's just, like, Taurus energy. And I'm the same way. It's like, when I like something, I'm going to get it over and over and over. Whether it's like I go through a phase and I'm like in a yogurt bowl phase now, and you can expect the yogurt bowl from me always, like most days of the week. Or whenever I go to a coffee shop, like I'll always order the same thing. Mm-hmm. Or for example, my favorite restaurant in all of New York is Jack's Wife Frida.
That's where Jack and I had our first date.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And every time I go, I get the same thing, which is the Maya's bowl. So Pedro always makes fun of me because he loves trying new things. And a lot of Gemini energy is like liking diversity and liking like trying new coffee shops, trying new restaurants, exploring your neighborhood. And a lot of Gemini energy is that. It's like your local environment. It's like, how do you create community in your local environment with your neighbors, with your siblings, with your like local area, like how do you have a local favorite, things like that. And like, I feel like that's you. It's like you have your little routine, going to the farmer's market, like making your neighborhood feel super like warm and homey, which I love. And then the Sagittarius moon is where I get the fieriness from you. I think you also have a fire rising sign, but I could also see you having like a Virgo rising or something, or like a Libra rising. So I have no idea. We'll have to find out eventually.
Yes, I will follow up with my birth time eventually. You will get it out of me, or I'll get it out of my mom.
But then also, you basically have your Mercury, your Sun, and your Mars all in Gemini, and they're all basically like grouped together. So it's like you have a lot of Gemini energy. Mm-hmm. And like that's why on your TikTok, like your talking videos do so well. And because you have the Mars there, Mars is like action and passion. Yeah. So it's like you feel really passionate when you're talking and expressing yourself. But then also it's like both the Sagittarius aspect of you and then the Mars being conjunct your Sun is like you like working out, moving your body, like doing stuff, like being in kind of like a dynamic
being in motion.
Yeah, exactly. And then how do you feel about like travel, exploring? Because that's the Sagittarius side. But since it's like opposite your Sun and you have more stuff in Gemini than you do in Sagittarius, I wonder if like that would feel like a conflict between
your internal world. Emotions about travel. There are some people who travel is their priority. Like they would rather spend money on a big trip than like a big purse. I love travel when I'm there and I desire to travel, but I'm not like, oh, I have these 10 bucket list places that I need to go before I have kids, or like I dream of traveling to this place. Like if I get invited on vacation or a trip, 1,000% I'm going. Like, I have no problem traveling. I love it once I do it, but it's not high on my list of priorities. However, I will say I think that that comes from a place of a lot of privilege for me because I did a decent amount of traveling with my family as a kid. So I'm not like, oh, I guess
that's the moon.
Yeah, I'm like, I haven't seen – my mom does not like travel. No. My dad loves to travel.
Okay.
But it just doesn't feel like – I'm not like, oh, I need to get out and see the world, because I have seen – I've done a decent amount of traveling. It's not like I've never left the United States or have never left New Jersey or New York. Like I've done a decent amount of traveling, so I don't feel that
– like urge. Like,
yeah. That like pull to do more of it, but that doesn't mean I don't want to do it.
For sure, because Gemini energy is like exploring your local environment, like having a routine and
being like very routine.
And Sagittarius energy is exploring, like, faraway places, like, very different cultures. And you've had those experiences, but it's, like, you have definitely more Gemini energy. So I feel like that would pull you more towards just, like, feeling really at home where you are living and, like, being really rooted.
And I'm a homebody. And, like, whether I'm home in New Jersey at my parents' house or home in New York, like, I love going to all my local spots. And I will do that as much as I possibly can. And I love exploring and finding new local spots. Like, I can't wait to move to Hoboken and explore Hoboken and find my new spots. But once I find those spots, like, I want to always go to them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. That's like the combination between your Gemini and the Taurus. It's like you like exploring and you'll discover all these, like, fun, awesome places near you. Yeah. But then once you find the favorite, it's like the Taurus energy predominating.
It's like with 7 grams cookies. I'm like, they will always be my cookies. Like,
yeah. And I feel like that's also the Taurus energy, is like the comfort and like the Venus and Taurus energy, like, kind of playing out. I feel like it's like cookie coffee time.
Oh my God, love it.
Did you know that 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, it's time to make 2024 the year that you finally check it off the list using Babbel. When it comes to learning new languages, something about me that a lot of people actually don't know is that I'm fluent in 3 different languages. Because I grew up in Brazil, I speak Portuguese fluently, and then I also am fluent in English and in Spanish. But I also am currently learning how to speak Italian because I started learning it in college for my study abroad program in Milan, but then my program ended up being canceled, so I never really got the chance to fully learn Italian, which is why Babbel has been coming in so handy for me. It's a science-backed language learning app that was designed by real people for real conversations, and Babbel's tips and tools are super approachable. They're rooted in real life situations and they are delivered in the app through conversational based teaching. So I've been using Babbel to learn how to order food, ask for directions, and speak to merchants so that next time I go to Italy, I can practice my Italian and also speak confidently. So if you're also on a journey to learn a new language, I have a special limited time deal for our Inner Growth listeners. Right now, you can get up to 60% off a Babbel subscription. And this is only for our listeners at babbel.com/growth. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/growth, spelled babbel.com/growth. Rules and restrictions may apply. Ciao. Let's talk about cookie coffee time.
Okay.
Can you tell me, like, the first time you ever did a cookie coffee time? And oh my gosh. Also, like, what it represents to you?
Okay. I cannot remember the first time I did a cookie coffee time because it probably was not intentional the first time I ever did it. It kind of became more of an intention after incorporating it. But I always say cookie coffee time originated from a multitude of places. Like, it kind of has various backgrounds. For anyone who doesn't know what cookie coffee time is, it's a tradition that I think my mom originally started, and she wasn't doing it with the same intention that I now do it, but it's basically just your midday treat for yourself. As the name suggests, I always love to have a chocolate chip cookie with an iced coffee, and that's why I called it cookie coffee time. But it's really any sort of snack, treat, beverage combination that makes you happy. You don't even really have to participate in the actual food and beverage combo. That's just my favorite part of it, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it's just a little time of day for you to be present, to take a break, to get over that midday hump. If you're working a 9-to-5 and, you know, 3 o'clock hits and you're like, oh my God, this is miserable. I have 2 hours left. Cookie coffee time will save you. It will empower you to get through the rest of the day. But I think when I really started incorporating the practice, it was coming from a place of facing my fear foods and realizing that you can eat a cookie in the middle of the day on a Tuesday and your world is not going to come crashing down, mm-hmm. which sounds, or it could sound silly to a lot of people if they have not struggled with any sort of disordered eating. But some people have fear foods and some people have fears surrounding food. And I would say for me, I was never scared of cookies. Like mm-hmm. I could eat a cookie and not feel guilty about it, or not necessarily not feel guilty about it, but I didn't think anything bad was going to happen if I ate a cookie. What I did have fears around was breaking my rules, which were not eating that cookie on a weekday when I felt I haven't quote unquote earned it, and eating it in the middle of the day rather than when a standard quote unquote dessert time would be after dinner at night.
Yeah.
So I used to think, okay, if I'm going to eat a cookie, it's because I earned it by being good, which we know is not a real thing. There's no good versus bad when it comes to eating, when it comes to food. So that having it midday and any day was like a really big deal for me. And as I started facing the fear surrounding the food more and more, it became more intentional. And eventually I broke that rule for good. And, you know, that's a very empowering feeling.
Yeah. So I feel like it takes practice. Like when you're working through fears that you have around certain foods, it has to be like a repeated thing. Like it's not just once you're going to eat a bagel and you're never going to be afraid of bagels anymore or whatever.
It's like exposure therapy. You do it over and over and over again. Exactly. Until it becomes less scary.
Exactly. And I feel like in my own journey too, like even the thought of like eating a cookie in the afternoon for me, it's like I never will like go in that direction. Right. And I think maybe there is an underlying fear around it.
It's like, oh, but I should have fruit right now. It's like 3 o'clock.
Yeah. It's like, I think for me, it's kind of the same thing as it was for you where usually if I'm having something desserty, it'll be after a meal or on the weekend or something like that. But I love the concept of a cookie coffee time, and I feel like it's just really cool that you've made that a thing on TikTok. And I really think that it's you being in the embodiment also of like being in a better relationship with food and breaking these rules and showing people like, yeah, like F diet culture. Mm-hmm. You know, I deserve to eat the cookie.
Absolutely. And when I see other people partaking in cookie coffee time, nothing brings me more joy. Like, I truly smile from the inside out when people tag me in their cookie coffee times, because I'm like, yes, you deserve this in every sense of the word. Like, enjoy that cookie. Or when people try cookie places that I've recommended, yes. I'm like, I am the cookie queen. Like, I get such a sense of pride, like, sharing my love of cookies with other people. And it sounds so silly. Like, a cookie is a cookie, but it's so much more than
so
that.
So what are the top five cookies in New York?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, my number one, 7 grams, 1000% on Madison Ave. There's a few locations. I think there's one in West Village and Chelsea, but mm-hmm. Madison Ave location is my home base. They are, if you don't like a gooey cookie, don't go.
I love a gooey.
Yeah. Some like, people are like, this soft. Is raw. And I'm like, yeah, that's the point. Yeah. Like, I love a gooey cookie.
Definitely a gooey cookie over a like hard.
1000%. I don't like a Tate's cookie is like a crispy, thin cookie. It just doesn't do it for me. Same. It doesn't have the same effect. Need the goo. So that's my number one. My number two is Funny Face Bakery, standard chocolate chip. Delicious. Number three, I think, is the Maman chocolate chip. It has macadamia nuts in it, and it was listed on Oprah's Favorite Things. Number four, I think, is Daily Provisions. It has some caramel in it. And then number five is hard to say. I'll give a few different options. Levain is...
I was going to say, yeah. Levain ones are Levain
is very good, but it... I don't want to say it doesn't feel special to me, but, like, Levain is now everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, obviously we all know it's a great cookie, but...
It's too basic.
I'm not bringing new information to the table by sharing Levain. Like, everyone knows Levain's a great cookie. I feel like I'm trying to shed light on the more hidden.
Yeah.
And not that the Maman or any of these are hidden. Like, the secret best spot.
Yeah.
Even though these are so public. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not bringing new information to the table.
It's like the underrated.
Yeah.
The underrated ones.
And then Hot Take Dough. Have you had it yet?
No.
Okay. It's not a New York thing. It's like a direct-to-consumer cookie dough company.
You can buy the dough.
So good. And then everyone says... Culture Espresso. People say that that's the best cookie in New York. I went last year. I must have gotten a bad batch or something because I did not understand the hype. And people still tell me, they're like, you have to go to Culture. I'm like, I went and I really didn't think it was that great. So I'll leave it up to everyone else to decide if they agree that it's one of the best cookies in New York. I'll have to retry it sometime soon. But that's my current ranking. It's very good.
I love that. Yeah, I recently did a little fondue night here in the apartment with Pedro, one of his friends, and his girlfriend, and they brought four different Levain cookies. And there's one from Levain that's like a double chocolate peanut butter cookie.
Oh, yeah, it's
with
really
gooey
good.
Peanut butter. It's very good.
Yum. Oh, I could really go for a cookie right now. Now that we're talking
about it.
We'll
have to get a cookie later.
Yeah, you'll have to show me the best cookie in Brooklyn. Or like,
yeah, we'll have to find one. We'll have to find one.
Sounds good.
Okay, amazing. Amazing.
So excited.
And I know we had talked about this before we recorded, but I want to hear about your own inner growth journey. I really love asking people that question because inner growth can mean so many different things to everyone. Mm-hmm. So for you, what do you feel like have been the biggest sources of inner growth or like a strengthening in your relationship with yourself?
I think something big that I've worked on recently, and I don't know if I've shared too much about this because I feel like a lot of my content is rooted in healing my relationship with food. Healing my tendency to people please has been huge for me over the last few years. I have always been a huge people pleaser because, which I have shared about, both of my sisters also struggled with disordered eating in a more severe sense than I did because theirs was on the more restrictive end. And they're a lot older than I am. And thankfully, everyone is okay now and I'm very close with my sisters and we're so lucky that they're healthy. But growing up, when I was younger and they were older and they were struggling and I was put under a lot of pressure to like save my parents. Be like, oh, you're so good. Like, what would we do without you? What would we do without you when like your sisters are struggling? Thank God we have you. Thank God you're so easy. Thank God like you have no problems. Thank God your mental health is perfect. Which then it felt like, okay, always have to be on. I always have to be easy. I can never have an opinion that's going to make anyone's life harder. I can never, you know, make anyone go out of their way for me. I'm just going to sit back and be happy with anything that gets handed to me because I never want to be the difficult one.
Wow.
Like, I've always felt like, okay, my parents have enough going on with my sisters. They're under so much hardship. Like, I can't add to their plate. I'm just going to be easy. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to do what I'm told. I'm not going to break any rules. Like, I'm going to be easy.
Yeah.
That carried over into relationships as well. Like, I would never speak my mind in past relationships if something was bothering me because I just wanted to be easy. So I'd bottle everything up inside until one teeny tiny little thing triggered me and I'd freaking explode. And then I seem crazy because it's like, why did this tiny thing make you explode? And it's like, no, it wasn't the tiny thing. It was actually these million things that now added up because I pretended that I didn't
say
care.
Anything about it before.
Yes. So now with Jack, wow. He has helped me so much because he wants to know every little thing and doesn't, I don't want to say doesn't get mad. Like, he doesn't get mad, but
he's a very chill guy.
He's very chill. He's very understanding. He's very patient. And he, whatever is bothering me, he wants to help me with it. He doesn't take it as an attack on him, which, like, in past relationships, if I mentioned something that was bothering me, it was like, oh, well, then I must just be the worst. Like, I'm the problem then, blah, blah. And then it was flipped on to me. Like, how dare you get upset at something I did? And it's like, okay, Jack would never see it that way. He just cares that I'm upset. And he's like, oh, what can I do to, A, make sure this doesn't happen again, B, make you feel better? So, like, him being mm-hmm. such an understanding and patient partner has helped me so much. And also, like, low-key, all the therapists out here on TikTok putting in the work. Like, sometimes my For You page is so specific, and it's like, I'm on your For You page because you're a people pleaser. Like, here's the tactics that you should do. And I'm like, wow, thanks, TikTok. Like, yeah. This is great. Free therapy.
Yeah.
And now I have stood up to my parents in recent months about some things, and like I stand up to Jack about some, or not stand up to Jack, but
like speak my mind.
And I think that has been my biggest growth because it was something that was so subconscious for so long. And now I'm like, yeah, fuck that. Like, sorry, yeah. I'm here for me. Like, I want my life to be good. I'm not here to make sure everyone else's life is good, which obviously I wouldn't want to tear anyone down. But like, if I'm not happy, what am I doing?
That's honestly kind of surprising to me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you're so good at setting boundaries.
Oh my God. That is such a nice compliment.
Like,
thank you so
actually,
much.
Like, I feel like, for example, if I have a dinner party and like you're mm-hmm. tired, like you're not going to hesitate to be like, guys, I'm going to call it a night. Like, I'm calling my Uber. Like, that to me is like you standing up for what you need.
Well, also, I'm no fun once I'm once my social battery is gone, I will shell up, sit on the couch and be looking at my phone. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just like, no one wants that, you know? No one wants, like, a party pooper sitting on the couch on their phone. Like, I'd rather leave on a great note, go home, get in bed, get my sleep, than everyone's like, why is Jordana in the corner being a party pooper?
You know? Yesterday we went out to ice cream after dinner, and Jordana was just, like, quiet out of nowhere.
Oh, my God.
And I instinctively feel like because I'm an older sister, like, my instinct is, like, make sure everyone's okay, everyone's happy. Like, I don't want everyone to feel like they're not having a good time.
No,
so
yeah.
I was, like, worried. I was like, oh, my gosh,
something's
happened.
Wrong. It's like, no, I just need my 9 hours.
Yeah, like, I'm just sleeping, need dessert. Like, wait, I'm waiting in line for too long and I'm overheating.
I will say, though, once the gelato came, I was revived. It was a long line, to be fair, and it was hot. And also, when I'm hot, if I'm sticky and humid and, you know, under boob sweat, like, it's time to go.
Yeah, it's real. It's real. But, yeah, I feel like I would never expect that you had struggled with these things because I do feel like you are good at setting those boundaries. And, like, if you were still falling to that people-pleasing, you would just stay and, like, be in the corner on your phone kind of upset instead of just being like, you know what, it's not my time to go.
Totally.
And I feel like that's really beautiful. When you started moving through the people-pleasing, mm-hmm. which, like, I've struggled with a little bit before as well, but I feel like sometimes it hasn't played as big of a role in my life as it's played in the lives of, like, people I know or my friends. So I'm curious to hear from you, like, if anyone is listening and you're struggling with people pleasing and you want to get through it, mm-hmm. right? How did it feel in the beginning? Like, was it really uncomfortable? What was the hardest thing to get through mentally to just be like, you know what? I'm not a burden. Like, I'm allowed to express myself.
Totally. I'd say the hardest, it was, in the beginning, it was very hard. It was very uncomfortable. And I'd say the first big point of me, like, standing up for myself was, it was a conversation with my dad. And I am very close with my dad. Like, I have an excellent relationship with my father. He is one of my best friends. Like, I travel alone with my dad. I said in the beginning that he's big on travel. So, like, I'm his travel buddy. Very close with my dad, and I also just have endless gratitude for him because I'm like, he gave me this life. He's the most selfless person I know, Like, there's nothing he won't do for his girls, and like my sisters too. He will put everyone ahead of himself. He did the same thing for his mom before my grandma passed. Like, he's very selfless, so I'm so grateful for him. So doing something that is not exactly what he wanted or envisioned for me or he had planned, like, that is such a difficult thing
for me to do. Because I'm like, I feel like the exact same thing about my dad and like.
Right. So I'm like, how could I possibly go against what he wants for me when he has done everything for me? And I'm making it sound like this was like such a bad thing that I did, which it wasn't bad at all. But basically, when Jack and I made the decision to move in together, I'm not like asking my parents if I can move in with my boyfriend. Like, if I'm old enough to make that decision, I don't need my parents' permission.
Yeah.
So I kind of just like called them and told them the news. Like, and they love Jack. It was nothing against Jack.
Yeah.
I think
it was just like, you're the protected little.
Right. Exactly. Because daughter. I'm the youngest.
Yeah.
They see me as so young. Like, they see me as their baby. So when I'm like 24 years old, hey, I'm moving with, or maybe, I don't remember. I was 23 or 24. I said I was moving with
year.
Yeah, but it was like before my birthday. So I think it was.
Yeah, you're about to turn 24.
About to turn 24. And obviously they weren't going to say anything like bad on the phone, but they kind of just had like a, oh, what? Like, where did this come from reaction? Like, we didn't know this was even on the table for you guys to be moving in together.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went home and my dad said, you know, you have your, like, you guys are likely going to end up together for the rest of your lives. If you have your whole life to live with him, like, what's the rush? Like, you should be independent a little bit longer while you have the chance. And I basically sat him down and said, I have never not taken your advice. Like, I have never gone actively against what you've said. I always believe that you have a reason for everything, that you have, like, a whole life's worth of wisdom, and I always trust that you want what's best for me. But this is my decision ultimately, and, like, I've thought it through, and, like, I gave him this whole speech, and as I'm giving him this speech, tears are streaming down my face. I'm, like, sobbing as I'm giving him this speech, but I'm, like, I have to get through it, because if I don't, I will never, like, I can't be 30 years old still worrying about what my parents want. Like, mm-hmm. even though obviously I want to respect their opinions and ideas and advice, I need to be an adult. Like, I need to make decisions for myself. So I had to get through this speech that I had, like, well thought out. But the whole time I was, like, in pain getting the words out because it was literally the first time I'd ever stood up for what wow. I wanted. Crying, sobbing. And my dad, of course, was, like, like teary-eyed, like, could see that I was actively, like, working through something. And everything's great now. We've been living together for over a year. We're moving into a new place together. My parents love Jack. Like, it was nothing against him. It was more so just, like,
instead of you just being like, okay, Dad, you're right.
Yeah, like, oh, maybe we are moving too fast. Like, I'll cancel the move. Like,
yeah, I feel like what it could turn into otherwise is you questioning your own self.
Right.
And questioning the reality of, like, how strongly you feel about things, right? And just mm-hmm. kind of putting that to the side because your parents are always right.
And also,
and our parents are wise. Like, they know a lot. They've lived through more than us. Like, our parents have lived experience. And I feel the same way about my parents. Like, I know whenever they're giving me advice, like, they're coming from a place of, like, we love you.
And like, we want what's best for you.
But also, like, even though I'm not the youngest, I'm actually the oldest daughter, I feel like sometimes the same thing happens. Like, the middle child kind of escapes this, but the oldest daughter and the youngest daughter, it's kind of like, oh, you're still my little girl.
Totally.
Like, for the oldest, it's because you're the first one. For the youngest, it's because you're the last one.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like an overprotection.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes out of love, but you have to stand up to your parents as you mature and as you become an adult woman.
Right.
And just be like, I hear you, but I don't have to agree with you.
Definitely. And doing it out of a place of respect and not, like, defiance.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I'm moving in with him because you said not to. It's like, I hear you, I respect you, but I'm actively making this choice. I've thought through all of the potential consequences, and, like, if anything bad were to happen, like, I'm prepared to deal with the consequences of my actions. And, like,
yeah.
I've thought through every scenario, and in every world, this is the action I want to take.
Exactly.
So
that was, like, really feeling hard. Confident in your choice.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And do you feel like the people-pleasing ever kind of translates into work or, like, career things?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yes and no. If we're being honest, on the one hand, at work, it comes through when anyone asks me to take something on, I say yes. Like, I bite off more than I can chew. I overextend myself because in my head, I'm like, what am I going to do? Say no to my boss? Like, say no to the person signing my paychecks? Like, no, I'm going to say yes. But I've never been that student or employee that's like, I have to get an A. I have to do the best work possible. That's really? Where the flip side comes in. Like, I am not a perfectionist in that way. I've always just kind of been like, I do my best, and if that's not good enough, sucks. Like, I think because of the way I felt at home, I, like, couldn't have it in every area of my life, you know?
You and felt I wasn't more in your family then. Yeah. You have to be perfect.
And, like, relationships.
To, like, hold things together.
Yeah. And
so interesting. Yeah. I guess for me it's the flip side.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I was never a bad student. Like, I did get A's and B's, and, like, I was a good student, but if I didn't get a perfect grade, I wasn't devastated. Mm-hmm. I kind of just, like, I feel like it's so arbitrary, grades and things like that. I'm like, I know that this isn't an accurate measure of my intelligence, so I don't care. Yeah. That's always how I felt.
Yeah, like, which is actually, like, a really good perspective to have. I mean, for me, it was always very intense. Like, yeah. I was always that student that's, like,
my sister
with the study guides and, like, in the library grinding and, like, the yeah, one no. raising her hand and, like, leading everyone in the group project and getting
couldn't
an A.
Be me.
And, like,
could not be me.
Like, that was me to a T.
So funny. Yeah.
And in terms of, like, growth, I know you said that's been, like, a big thing for your last, like, year and a half. Mm-hmm. So, like, let's say since the beginning of 2022 until now. Is there anything else that you feel like has been an area of growth or just something that you're currently working through that's been something you've been thinking about or just something that has pushed you to, like, evolve?
Definitely. I mean, right now, I feel like it's very easy for me in retrospect to know things that I'm growing about. But in the present, I'm like, what am I working on right now? Like, actively, I'm not sure, but I'm sure if in 6 months I come back, I'd be like, oh, that phase I was really working on.
That is so true. I guess for you right now, a big thing is moving.
Yeah. I'm so preoccupied with the move. Like, that's all I can think about. And that maybe I am working on that a little bit because I don't know if I already said that I'm moving to Hoboken, but previously I had such a stigma of, like, moving to Hoboken versus New York City. Yeah. And I think just, like, letting go of what anyone thinks and, like, including my dad, because the last time my parents were in Hoboken was, like, 30 years ago. Hoboken was really not anything.
Yeah.
And so much has changed. And I'm like, oh my God, it's so me. Like, even I, before Jack was the one who was pushing for Hoboken and I hadn't been. Mm-hmm. And when we went, I was like, wow, I love it here. Like, it's so much more me than the city. And I'm not bashing the city at all, but it's very hustle and bustle. It's busy. It's crowded. Like,
the city or
it's
Hoboken?
It's fast paced. The city.
Oh, yeah.
And when I got to Hoboken,
like,
I felt like
air.
I could breathe. It was, like, slower paced, less crowded, more neighborhoody and, like, cutesy. So I'm
which
really
I feel very similarly to you in that Brooklyn, way, because I feel like Brooklyn kind of gives me that vibe as well.
Yeah. And so. New York's going to be great to come into, but it's nice that it won't be my home base for someone like me that, like, prefers a little bit slower pace. So I guess that was something that I was working on, was not caring what other people thought. And then previously, which I was thinking about it this morning, it was like 8 years ago now, which is wild, but the Daily Schvitz all started with, like, healing my relationship with food and overcoming binge eating disorder and binging and purging. So I wouldn't say that I'm still actively working on that. I feel like that has sort of, I don't want to say come
I mean,
to a
8 years
close.
Is a long time.
Yeah, and I can't believe it's been 8 years.
For me, it's been 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, so which is crazy. A long time also.
I'm so proud of us.
Me too.
Like, that's a really big deal. But that was something previously that I had
Yeah,
a lot
and from. I remember when I first followed you, which was in, I think, early 2021, you were still kind of posting about it and, like, mm-hmm. sharing your journey, and you would write these long captions and kind of explain your brain and, like, what you were working through. And I feel like now being in the embodiment of it too and just being like, yeah, like, I've done the work and I kind of, you know, faced that.
Totally.
And now being in this, like, new evolved version of you, like, there's still triggers that come up, I'm sure, but I feel like being in that place where you're much more confident in your willpower and in your health decisions and in just, like, your mindset around things like food or binging or overdoing things, it's really empowering.
Definitely. It's hard though, because my content was rooted in that category so deeply, I felt almost a duty to continue posting about it for all the followers that were there for that for longer than I really wanted to. Because once you're sort of out of it, or you feel like you're moving out of it,
you don't want to keep talking about it.
Right. I felt like continuing to post about it was bringing me back to a space that I was no longer in. And so I felt such an incongruence. Like, there was a while where I didn't post very much on Instagram because I didn't know what to post, because I didn't want to post about food. but I didn't want to not post about food and like abandon all the people that were there for that specifically. But like at a certain point, it just got exhausting because I was like, I don't want to be constantly thinking about this 24/7 when I don't need to be.
Yeah.
So it was a big struggle of like going back and forth. And eventually I was like, you know what? I'm not in this place. I'm not going to drag myself back to it. I don't need to be thinking about it. I don't need to be talking about it. Mm-hmm. It's not my identity. Like,
What I was going to say. Yeah. It's like the identity piece, because when you're identifying with something or like being a spokesperson for something,
right,
you always want to keep reinforcing that identity. And then sometimes you're keeping yourself stuck in like
1000%
could middle not have said it part better. Of the healing phase.
Right. Could not have said it better if I tried. That's exactly how I felt. I was making myself the spokesperson for binge eating disorder. Like, for what? I wasn't allowing myself to move on and heal if I kept identifying as that spokesperson.
Yeah.
So I just had to let it go. And of course, it will always be part of me, and I don't want to like not identify with it. I'm not trying to like push that story away from me because it was such a big part of my life for so long. And I don't want to like forget. I don't want to forget my roots. Like, I don't want to forget where I came from. But like, I can't forget about it because it was so important.
For sure. For your healing and your growth.
Yeah.
And do you feel like for you, the binging or like that experience overall, of like struggling with that like 0 to 100 where you're like overeat and then you feel guilty and then you like, you know, want to purge or like want to like relieve the guilt and just like the whole experience. Do you feel like it came from like the restriction? Like, did it arise from like starting out from a restrictive place? And do you feel like observing your sisters impacted how that evolved for you?
I do not put any blame on my sisters. Like,
I was always like a blame.
No, I know what you mean. Like, I was so young. Like, I was so young when they struggled. Like, I didn't even, when my oldest sister went to rehab, like, I didn't even understand why she was going. Like, I didn't even know what she was going for. Mm-hmm. I was so confused that all of a sudden she was just, like, gone. Like, I couldn't wrap my head around, like, what do you mean? Like, I see her eat, like.
Yeah.
And I think my parents were trying to shield me from it a little bit. So I don't think that it had anything to do with, like, mirroring their behavior, even subconsciously. Like, I don't think that. And I don't think it started from a place of restriction. Like, I can't pinpoint what like that initial binge, you know, like what it stemmed from. But of course, once the cycle starts, then it does have to do with the restriction. Like, I don't think it started from a restriction, but I just remember every night after I binged, I'd like go to bed that night and I'd close my eyes and I'd be like, tomorrow's a new day. I'm not going to binge. I'm going to be so good. I'm going to eat so healthy and I'm going to be so proud of myself. And like, I'm going to be great. So the next day, I'd start off, I'd have my Think Thin oatmeal cup for breakfast. I'd have like a protein bar and a hummus cup for lunch. I'd have like XYZ for dinner. And then post dinner comes around and I'm
so hungry,
stuffing my face. It wasn't even like I was actively hungry. It was more like an emotional hunger. Like,
yeah. But I also feel like when you're not properly nourishing yourself throughout the day, like physiologically, your body needs
of
food.
Of course.
So there's also an element of course, that, I'm sure,
it was for me, a big part of it was like textures. Like, I liked the feeling of eating. Like, I loved that like release, that like chewing, and like, I don't even know,
like, felt the emotion for me. So
and then
that.
Once it was done and I blacked out and I was looking at like all the empty plates in front of me and like whatnot, I was like, what did I just do? Like, and then the guilt would set in and I'd purge and I'd restrict, and the cycle would start all over. And it was like so hard to break that cycle. And like, I get teary-eyed even thinking about the,
like, the whole thing
about every night when I'd get so down on myself as if it was my fault. And like, I couldn't understand why, if I was going to have problems with food, like, why couldn't it be the other way around where like I didn't eat? Like, I hate that I say that, because
I remember you have told me this before.
Yeah. It's a horrible thing to say, because obviously I would not wish a restrictive eating disorder on anyone, and it is so painful to go through and for people you love to go through. But like, that's how dark of a place I was in, that I was wishing for that.
Yeah.
Like, that is so terrible to even
say. And if you could look back and like tell your past self something, or like even someone listening who maybe has struggled with this or is currently like trying to heal from this, what do you feel like are the biggest things that have helped you move past it and like evolve and find more freedom and find more love and just let go of that cycle?
I think a big thing for me was like, when I was in it, And also now looking back, I was like, this is not meant to be my life. Like, I am meant to be happy. I'm not meant to be miserable. Like, there's no way that I could be put on this earth to be miserable. Yeah. Why would that be the purpose of my life? Like, there's so much more to my life. It can't be this. And I just, like, kept telling myself that, like, this can't, this will not be my life. Like, I will not let this be my life. I can't be stuck in this cycle forever. I'm meant to be happy. I'm meant to have a full life. Why would I be here if I was not meant to have a full life? So that was a big thing for me. And then also in terms of, like, actually the food aspect of it, is this is what my mom always used to say, because my mom actually also struggled. It's like, and I didn't get it until I got it. So if someone is struggling, you, like, it might be hard to grasp also. But, like, the food will always be there. It's not going anywhere. And that's, like,
yes.
I used to think I was so strong for knowing my triggers and actively avoiding them, because I was like, oh, if I know that I like to binge on cereal, I won't buy cereal, and therefore I won't be tempted to binge on it. Like, that's so strong of me.
Yeah.
But actually what's strong is buying the cereal, knowing that it's a trigger, having a bowl of it, and then being like, the cereal will still be there tomorrow.
And I can still eat it tomorrow.
I'm still allowed to eat it tomorrow. I don't need to finish the whole box and then act like I never bought it and bury it at the bottom of the garbage. I don't need to, like, erase it from my memory.
I think that's the biggest thing is, like, when you, for example, allow yourself to have a cookie today, you don't have to eat 10 cookies. Like,
right, because you can eat them tomorrow.
You know you can eat it tomorrow.
Right, you'll always be allowed. You're not breaking any rules. Like, you will always give yourself permission to eat. And it's that, like, scarcity mindset when you are in the binge restrict cycle of, like, oh, it's the weekend. Like, starting Monday, I'm going to be good all over again. So, like, I may as well eat all the cookies now since I can't eat them on Monday. But who told you that? You can eat the cookies Monday. Like, who told us that we couldn't eat the cookies? Yeah. You are making, like, not that you're making it up, but you set that rule for yourself and you can break that rule for yourself.
Yeah.
You are in charge of the rules for your life and your body.
Yeah.
So that was really big. And I think, like, stemming from that, I always just thought, like, it was very all or nothing for me. If I was going to eat one cookie, I was eating 10. If I was going to eat some granola, I was eating the whole bag. Like, and then I convinced myself that, oh, if I eat 10 cookies now, I'll make myself sick and then I'll never want a cookie again because I'll have a bad memory of the cookie.
But that's not true, right?
No, that's not true at all. But I did that with everything. Like, oh, if I eat this whole container of XYZ, it, like, I'll feel gross and then I'll never want to eat it again. That doesn't happen. And I think a lot of – I've, like, seen a lot of other people have similar mindsets. And it's like, I don't know where we get these things.
Yeah, I don't know where it comes from and the origin. But I think changing your mindset is how you change
your life,
the future outcomes of your life.
Absolutely.
So I really like that. And I think that's a really big mindset shift that I've also embodied in my own journey, is just, like, knowing that if I want to have the ice cream today, like, I can have it. And if I want to have it tomorrow, I also can.
Right. Like, you don't need to finish the pint tonight.
Yeah, I don't need to eat the whole thing today.
Yeah.
And I think that helps a lot, for sure. And kind of pivoting, I know that you love your wellness rituals and you're a big routine girly, and, like, you have a very good night routine as well. Mm-hmm. So I kind of want to hear about, like, your favorite wellness routines, and especially your night routine. But it doesn't have to be only that. It can just be, like, wellness things you love.
Okay. My night routine is not so much of a routine as much as it is, like, I just go to bed early. That's my routine. But I guess things that contribute to that are, like, I do not have a TV in the bedroom, and I will never have a TV in the bedroom. Once the light is out, I will not be on my phone. Ever. Mm-hmm. Like, and also, if I'm, like, in my sleep, like, for example, last night I got up to go to the bathroom, and when I got back, Jack was like, did I wake you? And I ignored him. I was like, I'm not talking or opening my eyes, because if I do, I will be out of this sleep state. Like, go away. I'm going back to bed. I'm not answering you. So that's – I'm just, like, big on sleep. But in terms of wellness things I love, like, I'm huge on moving my body in a kind way. I used to view exercise as a way to earn my food or punish myself for food that I had eaten. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, okay, I slept in this morning. I clearly needed the sleep. My body was prioritizing rest more than it was activity. Or, you know, I'm not feeling this workout today. Let me just go for a walk instead and show my body gratitude for the fact that I can move my legs is such a blessing. And just moving my body in a way that feels right to me. Of course, I do still love intense workouts sometimes, but I'd say that's my biggest thing for my mental health as well, because it really, that was also what contributed to healing my relationship with food, was the first summer that I started working out in a way that wasn't just like elliptical for 30 minutes because I'm punishing myself.
That's literally what I used to do.
Yeah. I was the elliptical seeing, trauma. No, PTSD. Will not be going on the elliptical ever again. But I was taking like more strength classes and things like that, and seeing what my body was capable of.
Lifting I had weights, man.
Such I an appreciation it. For my body that was like, wow, look at all that my body can do for me. Why am I treating it like crap? Like, why am I being so mean to my body when it's given me so many blessings and like is so strong and is here for me every day? Your body shows up for you every day, and that's such a blessing.
Yeah.
So I think moving my body is just like my go-to, like for my mental health more than anything. Mm-hmm. If I don't move my body,
it I'm used grumpy.
To be. Yeah, I'm grumpy. But I used to feel guilty or like have some sort of, you know, anxiety if I didn't move because, oh, you didn't work out today, you're going to gain 10 pounds. And like, I don't know why I was scared of gaining weight. I'm not scared of gaining weight anymore. I, you know, welcome bodily changes. But for example, if I was dealing with an injury, like I know now it is so much better to take 5 days off to let your hamstring heal than to work out through the injury. Pain. And then, you know, you're seated for 5 months because you overdid it. So like, listening to your body, appreciating the movement, and knowing when it's time to rest instead.
Yeah.
Is big.
I love that. Thank oh my you. Gosh. I love it so much. And I want to do some rapid fire questions for us to close out the episode. Perfect. So let's jump into it. The first one is, do you have a quote or a mantra that you love or that you live by?
Oh, or my
a quote
gosh.
That you would just come back to?
This is a quote that my grandpa always said, which is, you plan and God laughs. So, which is kind of like, you know, you think all of these things are going to happen and it's like, I've got something bigger for you. Like, or, you know, everything, I don't like the saying everything happens for a reason because I don't fully believe some things. But in a lighter sense, like everything happens for a reason. So, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like how I see that quote too is just like, don't try to overplan your life. Like, don't try to be always in control and, like, learn to also
flow. There will never be a right time or a wrong time. Whatever time it happens is the time.
Yeah.
Like, for whatever your life path is, whatever you choose, nothing is ever the wrong decision because it can't be. It's your life. Like, this was the path that happened. So it must have been for a reason.
For sure. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
And do you have any books that you love?
Oh my gosh. So I just finished Happy Place. Did you also
read literally it? Like I told you, like so once good. I have not read a single book after.
Oh my gosh.
Because well, that book reading, was so good.
Now I'm reading 28 Summers by Ellen Hildebrand, which like is also it? Good. I love Ellen Hildebrand. She's
okay,
great.
I'll have
she
to
has
read
a lot
one,
of
I
like,
just, like
bitchy reads.
I just like haven't been able to get into any books.
No. Happy Place Happy was Place. Amazing. Loved it. So good.
Any other ones?
November 9 was really good by Colleen Hoover.
I like that one too.
I'm trying to think of some others. Oh, The Love Hypothesis was really cute.
Wait, do you like that one? I think I have it downloaded.
Really
on my
cute.
Kindle.
Also, Josh and Hazel's Guide to Not Dating was really cute. Oh, that girl. Oh, shoot. There's one that's like something in December. That day in December.
Mm-hmm.
So good. So good. Read that.
Okay.
Everyone read that. It was a great
okay,
book.
Amazing. I love a like romance beachy.
Yeah. My mom and I, or my mom, my cousins, my sisters, and I, we call them fluffy books.
Yeah, I love fluffy books.
We love fluffy.
They're the best.
They're so
They're
good.
The best.
Yeah, the most fun.
And what makes you feel like your higher self, like your best self?
Like a specific action or
anything.
Okay. Like my dream day. When I get in bed at the end of that day of like I'll walk you through my perfect day, just nothing feels better. But like waking up. Doing a great workout that makes you feel empowered, coming home, taking a cold shower, doing all my skincare like to a T, making a perfect coffee and breakfast, relaxing, going for a walk, listening to my music, reading a book, like spending time with friends and family and loved ones, with my puppies, being outside in the sunshine, you know, having a nice home-cooked meal, maybe by the beach.
Oh.
And, you know, at the end of the day, you're clean, you've taken an everything shower, and you get into, like, crisp, fresh sheets, and you're in bed by, like, 9:30, lights off, and
I'll
never feel better than a day like that, ever.
Yeah. For me, similarly, I don't think this is, like, the thing that makes me feel like my higher self, but like an ideal day like that. But for me, it includes like just being in the sun so much of the day by the beach and then taking
being
that
in
like
the water.
Nice refreshing shower and just feeling so clean.
I love that
after
feeling.
You've been like
I will not feel clean until
day.
I like I don't even know right now I feel so sticky and gross from like the subway
summer
sludge
in New York,
and like
summer in New
I
York,
just
you
want
need,
to feel
like,
clean.
Two, 3 showers a day.
I showered 3 times yesterday. I showered in the morning, before dinner, and after dinner.
No, like fully. Like, yeah. You just need
I couldn't get
you
in bed when I got home. I was like, I am covered in just stick.
Like, I feel super good right now, but like, I took a shower where I washed my hair.
Well, it's
because
we have air conditioning.
And I've been in air conditioning all
day.
That. And I'm just like feeling clean. And then I know the moment that I step outside, I'm going to need to take a new shower.
I know. I'm debating. I'm like, should I? I was planning on washing my hair tonight and being all pretty. But it's so humid out. The second I step outside, it's just going to be terrible. So I'm like, why bother?
It's just like a constant back and forth.
Yeah.
If you're in summer in a city.
Summer in the city is canceled. I'm canceling it.
Okay. Last question is if you could leave everyone listening with only one thing, like let's say you didn't hear the entire episode except this part, what would you want to tell them?
I know that you are meant to live a happy, fulfilled life. You would not be here if you were not meant to live a happy, fulfilled life. So whatever you need to do to get there, like that is your destiny. You are meant to be happy. You are meant to be loved. You deserve to be loved. And you wouldn't be here if not. That's what I think.
You're worthy.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh, this was so fun.
It was. I'm so glad we finally did this.
Me
like,
too.
Checking it off. Yes. The summer bucket list.
Yes.
Just checking
literally,
it off.
Literally amazing. Tell everyone where they can follow you. And
oh, yes.
Yeah, like stay connected with all of your content.
So my username on everything, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, which I'm loving, is The Daily Schvitz, SCHVITZ. And Instagram, TikTok, Threads. I'll see you guys there.
We love it. We love it. Go follow her, especially on TikTok for all the cookie coffee time.
Yes. Love.
All right. Thank you guys so much for watching or listening. I will see you guys next week. And until then, have an amazing rest of your day. Love you guys so much. And I'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.